Thank you. It is our privilege to have you join with us at this same time each week, and again, we count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We appreciate the amount of response that we get. If you've been one of those that have written, of course, we've written you back. But we thank you very much for taking the time to write and let us know your appreciation of the broadcast. And it just seems like the longer we go, we just have listeners from everywhere from where the letters are coming from. I mean, they're coming from all over and different parts of where KLGR reaches out, and a wonderful radio station. And we have the privilege to be on it, and we thank God for that privilege. Well, we can consider now, we'd like for you to go in your Bibles and let us go over here to Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Now, we're going to be interweaving these, but also, since Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, are used mainly to have people come down to the front of the church to receive Christ and confess Him as their personal Savior. Because of this, and I'm going to say this unequivocally, it is a tradition you find nowhere in the Bible ever where people are told to come to the front of the church, any scripture anywhere that even hints about coming to the front of the church. And people are told to witness to other people because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we want to examine this procedure now, and we've outlined it in four parts: the procedure, the person, the program, and the proposal. So we're going to look now at the procedure that is used, and many times we're going to analyze that a little bit. The procedure, that is, the invitation at the conclusion of a service, it may vary somewhat, but most generally it follows this procedure of the various churches that I have been in and witnessed the invitation at the end. First of all, the pastor or evangelist will ask the congregation to bow their heads at the conclusion of the sermon. Next, the congregation is addressed with the question, "Is anyone today interested in their soul? If so, would you please let me see your hands so that I can pray for you?" Next is followed with a prayer is then given. It may go something like this. It may vary a little bit from one to another, but basically now, it'll go something like this. Help them to make that decision by slipping out of their seats and receiving Christ here at the front of the church or the altar. Amen. And then it continues, the congregation is then asked to stand and to sing an invitation song. Another plea is usually given. Now that you have raised your hands, step out on the first verse. And when you take the first step, the Lord will be with you the rest of the way. The pastor or the personal workers will be waiting to meet you in the front, and sometimes you will hear words from the pastor saying, "It wasn't easy for Christ, and it won't be easy for you." And then it goes on. Now, I'm talking from experience here of being in and witnessing this situation. The length may run anywhere from 3 minutes to 25 minutes, depending on the pastor or the evangelist, or how many come forward. Now, in assuming someone may come for salvation, then they are introduced to a personal worker who shows them the Romans road to salvation, as many Baptists put it. The Romans road is found in Romans 3:23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, of course, is the fact that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 10:9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and so forth. Now, we find out here, as we continue on, after receiving Christ as Savior, they are then asked to stand before the congregation for their public profession. The pastor then asks the individual if they believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for their sins. And the answer, of course, is, "I do, Pastor." "And do you want to follow him in believer's baptism?" "I do." Next, the person remains standing, and after the closing prayer, the congregation files by and gives them a handshake and a word of encouragement. Next, if someone comes, inevitably the pastor will have the congregation sing another verse, and another verse, and another verse, and another verse, and another verse, as long as people are coming. Honestly, truthfully, I want to confess something. I was in a church that did this, and it was a good church. The pastor, I mean, they preached salvation, but this tradition was part of their service. And I honestly, I'm confessing this years later now, when I would stand and I would pray, please don't let anybody come. The dinner's going to burn. And, you know, I'm ready. I've heard the message. Why don't we just invite people to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, have a prayer, and go home? Why are we standing here? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing it? And I was praying, I guess, against the most of them. I was praying, oh, dear Lord, don't let anybody come. Let them go out Monday and lead them to Christ in their home. Why make me stand here verse after verse after verse after verse? Well, I'd like to analyze this type of invitation. And we're going to start with the very first one that we gave. Does anyone care about my soul and or care about their soul? When the congregation is asked, is anyone interested in their soul, please raise your hand so that I may pray for you. Now, I was always one to begin to think about this stuff because I'd been in many churches as a young boy. And truthfully, after I trusted Christ as my Savior, I became very, very angry at these churches, because not one of their pastors ever told me how to go to heaven. Now, I got little stars put up for memorizing verses in the Bible. I don't ever remember a Sunday school teacher. I never remember a pastor. I never remember a person in the church ever telling me that John 14:6 says, Christ said, now this is Jesus Christ speaking, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and get this now, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So if no one comes to the Father in heaven except through Jesus Christ, why are we hearing about confirmation? Why are we hearing about water baptism? Why are we hearing about singing in the choir? Why are we hearing about all of these supposedly important events in the church? And no one ever told me that this is the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, that He loved me and died and buried and rose again from the dead. I felt so sorry but my uncle got saved before I did, but he went to a church, and it was a Methodist church. And he went there, and it was over 40 years. Not one time can he ever remember that it was stressed to him that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Now, this isn't characteristic of them all, because there are some good ones. And especially years ago when those old-timers in that denomination, man, they fired the Bible. We had a couple come in our church down in Indiana that they'd gotten a new preacher out of seminary, and he said, you know what, he doesn't even, we got to get out of here, we're learning nothing. He doesn't teach the Bible, it's more on social events and everything else, more on car washes, more on banquets and suppers. Where's the Bible? Reminds me of this lady who used to get up and advertise for one of the food companies and said, where's the beef? Well, they were saying, where's the Bible? And they came over, and they were born-again Christians. They got saved in the Methodist church. But the new ones they were putting out there at that time, not speaking for everyone now, so don't misunderstand me, but at that time, then they came over and joined our church because they wanted the Bible taught, and made them sick because they were saved in that church, and they loved their church, and they should have. But it all changed when the new ones came out of the seminaries. We call them cemeteries now instead of seminaries. And, well, what a difference it makes. So, now, I want to get back to this a minute, just a second here. And with this, when we say, is anyone interested in the soul, please raise your hand, I may pray for you. My question is, I begin to think about this. And by the way, I don't know if I said it or not, my uncle trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Baptist preacher came down and told him there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And he received Christ, became a deacon in the church after that, and was in there serving the Lord until he passed away a few years ago. And thank God he's in heaven now. And no sense thanking some of these liberal churches because, he wasn't saved. And he was very grateful that this Baptist preacher came down and told him that Jesus Christ loves you. You're not saved by joining the Baptist church. You're not saved by coming to our church. But we're going to tell you, if you do come to our church, how to get to heaven, that Jesus Christ is the only way. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior, you'll never perish but have eternal life. Now, that's the good news. And I thank God for an uncle like that because he was a great influence in my life. But anyway, we get back here. Why, and I want to ask this question because I was always a thinker and begin to think about these things. Why would a pastor asked the congregation a question like that, are you interested in your soul, when they came to church? And I thought, that is the dumbest question I have ever heard in my life, Because if they weren't interested in their soul, why are they even in church at all? Especially a fundamental Bible-believing church. In other words, why would they be there if they were not interested? The question accomplishes absolutely nothing, so why ask it? Why ask something like that? I mean, if the person is in your church, you have an opportunity to tell them that God loved them and Jesus Christ died for them. Don't play with them. They're interested or they wouldn't be there. As an example, allow me to relate an incident that happened a number of years ago. A revival was being held in a large fundamental Baptist church. Just a Baptist church. My wife and I had invited several people to come, and most of them did. Not all, but most of them did. At the conclusion of the service, the evangelist asked the congregation, with their heads bowed, if any here were interested in their soul, and he used this. There were probably, I'm just guessing now, because I'm well familiar with that church and attended it quite often, I would say between 350 and 400 that were in attendance, and not one person raised their hand, which was really sort of unusual, because usually out of that many people, you at least have some hands that are raised interested in their soul, but there were none. The same and only question was repeated, I know, four or five times, and still there were no hands raised. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we were there. The people we invited were there. Abruptly, and I could not believe this, abruptly, the evangelist, and this is an evangelist out of his name is well known all through the South. He's not here anymore. He's dead and went on to be with the Lord. But he was a famous evangelist, as is known to most of you, maybe not in this area, but in other areas of where he held meetings, to be very familiar. And then he stated, the meeting is dismissed. Very, very derogatory. When I raised my head and I looked at the evangelist, it was apparent that this guy was mad and he was really disgusted and there was no invitation given at all. I was mad myself personally. I was really mad because the people I had worked so hard and Margie, my wife, had worked so hard to get to come to church was to hear the invitation and respond to it and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We were never thought anything about the coming forward. That wasn't it at that time. But to hear that Jesus Christ loved him and Christ died for him. There was no invitation given at all. The pastor, he got up, and he was shocked at the abrupt ending. I don't think he'd ever had anything happen like that before either. But he thanked the people for coming, and he invited them back the next night. So the next night, we returned with about the same amount of people as we had the first night. Went out and worked some more and got some more people to come. The exact same thing happened the second night. I could not believe it. I'll tell you what, if I'd had a little more backbone, I probably went up on the stage and asked him, what in the world are you doing, you misfit? I didn't have quite that much nerve. But anyway, the exact same thing happened the next night because no one raised their hand to indicate that they were concerned about their soul. He would not proceed to give the invitation. And I was thinking, why in the world, Mr. Evangelist, are you asking such a stupid question when people are kind enough to come to your church? I had worked weeks and weeks and weeks when we found out this was going to be a revival and to get people to come. They promised they were going to come. They were lost people we had witnessed to. And here this guy pulls this stunt. Now, I want to continue in our analysis of this. The lack of hands being raised seemed to indicate to him that his sermon was ineffective. It was also apparent that he was very, very angry. Another thing, to ask a congregation to indicate by the raised hand if they are interested in their salvation is applying a traditional procedure which is supported, get this, absolutely nowhere in the Bible. This is a procedure that he had incorporated, and sad to say, many pastors have followed it because their peers have done it, and their peers have done it. So by tradition, we have this in some Baptist churches and other fundamental churches, which nowhere is in the Bible. Now, some of you listening, oh, Pastor Yount is attacking the churches again. Pastor Younce is teaching the Bible that there is nowhere in the Bible ever where people are to be invited to the front of a church. So don't get mad, use your brain for a second, and quit blaming the secondary person and blame the real person. Blame God for not putting it in the Bible like you ought to if you had enough backbone. Pastor Younce did not write it. God did not write it. So the Word of God, being absent from it, condemns it and shows the flaws in it. And as we go on, we're going to see how it can send somebody to hell, and it would have sent me to hell if I had to come to the front of the church to be saved. Now, let's go on. I would think that the presence of the person in the church would indicate they were interested in their soul or they would not be there. Another evidence. Evidently, since no hands were raised, this was taken as an insult to the evangelist concerning his message. Otherwise, why would it anger him to the point of open disgust to the audience? In following an unscriptural procedure, not attacking churches, we're just teaching the Bible. It is not scriptural. It is a procedure. It is a tradition. It is not found in the Bible. So we're going to lay what's practiced against the Bible, the Word of God. So don't blame Pastor Younce. I didn't write the Bible. But I'm sure going to preach it instead of some of the ignoramuses out there that know beans from apple butter that always want to blame somebody because of their ignorance of the Word of God. That I can't help. But thank God for those that want to learn the Word of God. I mean, you can't help somebody that never carries a church the Bible. Or never carries a Bible to church, I should say. There's nothing you can do for a person like that. I mean, you're wasting your breath. But for those who want to know, there's nothing in the Bible at all about coming to the front of a church. Now, in following an unscriptural procedure, the results motivated the preacher to actually go against God's word. What right did the evangelist have to refuse to invite people to trust Christ as their Savior, just because they did not react to the way that he wanted them to do it? Did he not also betray the trust of others who invited the lost in full confidence he surely would invite them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? He surely betrayed my trust. He betrayed my wife's trust. And after talking to many people, after he had left in the evangelistic meetings, which did not seem to me to be a success at all, but a total failure, there were quite a few people very disgusted and some going to leave the church. Whenever we begin to put ourselves into the picture and start acting on the authority of our own feelings instead of the authority of God's Word, we will rob people of the right to trust Christ, but may think we are still doing God's will. Since God so loved the world, should we not then tell the world at every opportunity of His love? If we will, as 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, we find out, acting on obedience and not by feeling, we can always trust the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, to accomplish that which it is set forth to do. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that. It will accomplish. The Word of God will do it. Hebrews 4:12 says, sharper than any two-edged sword, but it will accomplish what it's set forth to do. I know on the radio broadcast, we in some liberal churches, you know, that absolutely uproots and it just almost infuriates. And you know that I'm going to say this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my life. I've told other pastors out of different places, you know, about, you know, some people, well, they call the radio broadcast, you know, or the station, get us off the air, do this and that, and they complain this. Of course, they never call me. You know, they don't have enough guts or backbone to do that. But they'll go behind your back, as they do every place else, and complain and gripe and complain and so on and so forth. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. And we used to have this, and I'll tell you, it's comical, really comical. We would have people in Walnut Grove, they listen to the broadcast all the time. And then they begin listening to the telecast or watching the TV broadcast. But they'd never admit it to anybody, you know, because they would be condemned by their peers, but their peers were also listening to the broadcast, watching the TVs also. But it's an amazing thing. They let it slip, you know. Oh, you shouldn't have said this about that. Well, how did you know that if you were listening? You know, and they just caught in their own trap, you know. But they, and one man, that was sort of comical. He was complaining to another man. He said, I'll tell you what, I can't stand to listen to that Pastor Young's on the radio. And he said to him, he said, well, then you're the dumbest guy I ever seen in the world. Why don't you turn it off like you do a TV broadcast or any other radio broadcast you don't like? Why are you dumb enough if you don't like to listen to him? Why do you keep listening to him for? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a very good question. I'll tell you what, if I don't like and there's sometimes there's music that comes on I don't like on the radio, I just turn the radio off. I don't call the radio station and say, hey, you quit playing that, or I'm going to threaten you with we're not going to listen to your radio station anymore, or something like that. You know, I just turn the station. I'm not going to do that. If I hear another religious broadcast on that I diametrically am opposed to as far as the Word of God, I have never called a radio station and said, you ought to get them off of there because look what they're doing, you know, and like that. And if I didn't want to listen to it, I'd just turn to another station. But it's really comical. It is absolutely comical. I've never seen anything like it in my life. In 30 years of being a pastor, as I have in this particular area here, I've never seen anything like it. If I didn't like a station and I didn't like the religious broadcast, and if you're listening, you don't like ours, why are you dumb enough to turn it on next Sunday for? I would think you'd shut it off and go to another radio station. And maybe it just shows the ignorance of people, I guess. I don't know. Or a few. I'm just going to say this. It sure doesn't show it because there are some very intelligent people, some very wonderful people here in Walnut Grove, and we love them to pieces, and they love us, and we have a lot of friends in and around here. We really do. But this is just a handful of the little cliques and so forth. But let's go on here and begin to look at this. Now, his attitude, this evangelist's attitude, put a dampening effect throughout the whole congregation. In conclusion, I think we need to get back to the basics of expounding the Word of God, and when we're finished, invite people to trust Christ, period. Don't play with them. Don't be asking stupid questions. Are you interested in your soul when you have their body there present to show you they are? Fulfill your responsibility, and I'll fulfill mine. When we have people come to our church or visitors, we always give the invitation. We give it every Sunday and never once. And we have people saved that we've led to the Lord. We just had our, sometime back here, and we baptized 11 out to Lake Laura. And 11 people that professed their faith in Jesus Christ by water baptism, letting people know who were there, we've received Christ as our Savior. Our baptism is publicly our profession that we believe Christ died on the cross, and he was buried. And when they were brought up out of the water, it was their public testimony. We believe he was risen from the dead, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So we thank God for those 11 that we baptized here sometime back. It was wonderful. But we need to get back to just teaching the Bible. You're going to be criticized for it. And if people are too dumb, if they don't like the broadcast, maybe they're so illiterate they don't know how to. But I would think if they knew how to turn to one channel, they know how to turn away from it. But maybe they don't, you know, whatever. But in conclusion, as we've said, we need to get back to the Bible, expounding the Word of God, and when we're finished, sit down and invite people to trust Christ as their Savior. We need to dispense with all the foolish questions that amount to absolutely nothing and actually bind the invitation. Let us just plainly invite people to trust Christ. Now, getting back to this particular event, we did not return to hear him again, nor did many others. And it was sad to see this evangelist get upset over nothing and then refuse to give an invitation because of his hurt feelings. His invitation, not God's now, had repercussions not only on the congregation but also upon himself. That's very interesting. Now, can you be saved in your seat? When people are asked to leave their seat and receive Christ at the front of the church, my question is, why cannot Christ be received where they sit? The only reason is they're not told this. Many people have been saved by hearing the gospel over the radio. We have letters of people who have been saved by listening to our radio broadcast here and trusted Christ their Savior. They did not walk down the aisle. No, many have been saved by seeing and hearing the gospel over television. Many are led to Christ at their home, or at work, or in a hospital, walking the aisle of a church was never mentioned whatsoever. Then cannot a person be saved in church? In church be saved the same way? Well, of course they can. One does not doubt the salvation of a person saved in these various situations, but when we're in church, a person's salvation is questioned if they do not come forward in the church. The paradox is this. If a person was led to Christ in their home, and the next door neighbor came to church the next Sunday, the one who came to church would not receive the same invitation to receive Christ as his neighbor did. Since he's in church, now he must come to the front of the church to be saved. If he's at home, all he would have to do is receive Christ as his Savior by faith. The Bible invitation, you see, has never changed at all. No matter what location you're in, it is always the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:17. We are told, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If a person can be saved hundreds of miles away by hearing the gospel over the radio, then a person can be saved 30 feet away from the pulpit to the pew, if they're given the same opportunity. Now, the reason we've spent a lot of time on this is because, as we're going on, I'm going to give you some examples that people would have went right straight to hell if somebody had not got to them and told them, you don't have to come to the front of a church. And this is going to be a shock to some, but it is a tradition, as has crept into many, many churches. The tradition of many other things that have crept into churches that are nowhere found in the Bible. Babies being baptized, brought into the church, and before you throw your hands up and then, there he goes again, you know. You find in the Bible anywhere babies were ever baptized and you send it to me. You send it to me. And then, if you're in a church where they baptize babies, then if you're wrong, get you to another church then that teaches babies are not to be baptized. Now, it comes down to put up or shut up. You know, that's what it really comes down to. But you'll find people in other areas know better than that, and they don't incorporate that. These are just traditions that have crept in. And sad to say, they've deceived a lot of people. I thank God we can trust Jesus Christ to always be right when he said, I loved you, I died for you, I paid for your sins, and if you'll believe in me, you'll never perish but have eternal life. Well, I see our time slipped away. Also, if you would like, because we've had many requests for this, we'd had it reprinted because it had been bought out of it before, Face to Face with Tongues, if you want to know about the tongues movement and whether it's scripture or not, it is $6.95. And that's postage paid. You want to visit our website. We have many things on our archives there. It is www.heritagebbc.com. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so come, Lord Jesus.